Please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line this evening Warren Smith, and we're going to be talking about a book he's written called Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. Warren Smith, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Nice to be with you, Stan.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, because I think that will help to sort of clarify why you've written this book.
Well, in 1979, I, to oblige a friend, went and saw a psychic. It wasn't really so much for any spiritual reason, but just to please my friend. And so during this psychic reading, some supernatural things happened that made me think that something really good was happening. And as a result of that experience, I moved very deeply into the New Age. And we can pick that up after. It sounds like you have a break.
Oh, go ahead. Anyway, you got into the New Age, and then you got into something called A Course in Miracles. Is that right?
Yeah. After my experience with the psychic, I really kind of took off and got involved in a number of different things. But the predominant teaching that I had when I was in the New Age was A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles is reputedly delivered, it's new revelation reputedly delivered by Jesus to this present generation to help us in a time of crisis. I had no idea that the Jesus of A Course in Miracles was a false Jesus, a false Christ.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Warren Smith, and of course we're talking about his entrance into the New Age, and of course within the New Age there's a whole different philosophy. They talk about Christ, but the Christ is within us. It's a different Christ, isn't it, than the Christ of the Bible?
Absolutely, and of course those of us that don't have a Bible background don't know that. I was actually reluctant to even get involved with A Course in Miracles just because I was resistant to the Christian language, but it's very clever the way that the spirit world has worked this out, and the devil that The Course in Miracles denies is very active in deceiving the whole world right now. And the Christ that is presented in A Course in Miracles in the New Age is a universal Christ. It's a Christ that is not Jesus the Christ. They say that Jesus is a way shower. He is one who shows the way to God and to Christ, but he's not a savior. His death on the cross has no significance to the New Age. And you were mentioning earlier, Stan, about the man that called in and was hesitant to talk about the blood of Christ to the young people. The blood of Christ, his atoning death on the cross, is a sacrifice for our sins. And it is a difficult concept to explain, perhaps, to young people, but I think that's the job of a good youth pastor or a good minister, to be able to explain that in such a way that they don't become fearful, that they understand the incredible sacrifice that was made. But the idea is, in the Course in Miracles, is that we are all God, we are all Christ, we are all one. And that's the key right now. There's a choice that's looming in the future. You can decide that, you know, you are all, that all humanity is a part of God, that we are all Christ and we are all one, or that Jesus is the Christ and he is the one that is the one that sacrificed his life for us, and that we only become one with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The scripture that really makes that clear is Galatians 3:26-28. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." It says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." The Course in Miracles says that we are all Christ. It says the recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. In the future, I think people are going to live or die based on their understanding of whether they think that they are God or whether they believe that Jesus is the one that the Bible says he is, that he is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
How was it that you happened to get out of the New Age movement and come to Christianity?
Well, I was very, very involved. I mean, I had gotten involved with the Guru Rajneesh while he was in India before he came over to the United States. And thank God I got out of that movement before he came over. But one of the things that people don't understand is that almost all of the New Age teachings, almost all of these alternative teachings, are basically teaching the same thing, that God is in everyone and everything. Everything is God. And so I was going from one thing to another, and the Course in Miracles, as we talked about earlier, was the predominant. I went to a Course in Miracles group. I was going weekly. I was learning all these teachings that are really the Bible upside down. And to make a long story short, I actually had a book, it's out of print now, called The Light That Was Dark. It's my testimony. I had to deal with a malevolent presence, and it didn't really fit into our my wife's and my vocabulary, because you deny evil. When you're in the New Age and you're deceived by these teachings, The Course in Miracles says there's no sin, there's no evil, there's no devil. Any darkness that you see out in the world is just a projection of your own inner fears. In essence, if you have something coming at you that feels evil, you're really just looking in a metaphysical mirror. And what you do is you go inside yourself and you affirm that you're God, that, you know, that there is no evil, that you could see peace instead of this, and you affirm your way out of it. Well, that didn't work. This presence persisted, and we went to our Course in Miracles group leaders, and we said, you know, there's something going on here. We've taken responsibility for it. We've applied all of our Course in Miracles lessons. Nothing seems to be working. And it was kind of ironic, because the Course in Miracles group leader actually tried to do a little ceremony with sending love and light, and we all held hands and stuff. And when we were walking out of the door, I turned and I said, isn't there anything else that we can do? And his wife, who had a church background at one time before she got involved, she said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yeah. And I looked at her and I said, Trudy, I said, what are you talking about? There's no devil. And her husband was really embarrassed, because this guy traveled around with an Edgar Cayce group in Europe looking for psychics and doing all this high-powered metaphysical research. And he's looking at her and he's going, oh, honey, you know, come on now. And she said, I don't care. There's a devil. He's real. So my wife and I went home that night, Stan, and we pulled out this King James Bible that a woman had given me, because it was a Christian woman who was so concerned about my New Age teachings. When I told her about them, she gave me this King James Bible. They weren't giving the message back then. She gave me a King James Bible. And my wife and I read this in Ephesians, and we just kind of shook our heads, and we said, well, Trudy has our best interest at heart. She must have gone to church at one time, and we dismissed it. Anyway, this presence did not leave, and ultimately we ended up down at my mother-in-law's place down in Southern California at Christmas time in 1983, and this presence was still kind of dogging us, and we were just beside ourselves. We didn't know what to do. So one day while my wife was visiting a friend, she was actually my girlfriend at the time, became my wife soon after that. As soon as we became Christians, we understood that we needed to get married. But anyway, I was in a bookstore, and in the metaphysical New Age section, which is the only section I ever really looked at, I saw a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. And I pulled it down, and I didn't know that it was written by a Christian woman who had been involved in the same things that we had and had to deal with evil, who had a spirit guide named Jesus that pretended to be Jesus but wasn't Jesus. And she had a very remarkable solution for dealing with the evil that she was dealing with. And I wrote it down. And actually, while I was in the bookstore, somebody came off the street back into the bookstore where I was reading this and started screaming at me and asking me if I was going to buy the book, what was I doing with this book. And I just kind of clutched the book to my chest, and it was like, does evil know that I'm reading about it? It was like my first understanding that there was an external element. So anyway, after he left and I took down a few notes, the next day when we had to deal with his presence again, I told my wife, I said, this is going to be a little bit different, but I said, I really believe what I was taught by this woman yesterday, and I want to try this. So I said, repeating those words that I'd read, I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to be gone. I forbid your presence here. I claim the protection of the blood of Jesus upon us. Go where Jesus sends you. And it was like, whoosh. It was like the presence just left immediately. And my wife looked at me, and she said, what was that? What happened? It's gone. I said, I don't know, but it has something to do with Jesus' death on the cross. There's something much more significant about that than what the Course in Miracles has been teaching us. By the way, Stan, the Course in Miracles, it's Jesus says this about the cross. Quote, do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey.
Now that, of course, comes from the Course of Miracles, the journey to the cross is the way to life.
And you know, it's a very hard thing. The world does not want to hear that it's the only way. And I was asked once on a TV program, are you saying that Jesus Christ is the only way? And I said, I'm glad he provided a way. I mean, it's like, why are we arguing? I mean, God provided a way out. Jesus is the way, and it's just as simple as that. But, of course, when you're confused and lost and deceived, you don't know that.
Well, you know, I think the thing, Warren, is it's so difficult for many people who are not Christians, and perhaps even for some Christians, to really understand there is another dimension there. There are beings from that other dimension. There are demonic forces, and sometimes they will actually haunt you. They will besiege you. And of course, I'll never forget the first time I ever had this experience. I was going to give a talk at a church, and I just had this terribly uneasy feeling. I've done a lot of talks. Nothing ever really phases me much, but I had this feeling of almost impending doom, and I mentioned this to the minister. Oh, he said, I have this all the time. You're under demonic attack. And he told me, of course, to just authorize my authority as a follower of Jesus Christ and command the demonic spirit to leave me alone, to go to the pit of hell, you know, and claiming the blood of Jesus Christ. And it was the most amazing thing. Suddenly the demonic spirit was gone. That oppression, that feeling of oppression. And through the years, I've noticed the same thing over and over again, a half a dozen times. And claiming, you know, what we have, you know, as disciples of Jesus Christ, why we certainly can, you know, command those dark and sinister forces. I think that till people understand that we're involved really in one world, but there is another world out there. There is this spirit world, and of course, this is what you'd been contacting. Fortunately, you were able to get rid of it, and you were able to see the hypocrisy of this whole New Age movement. And this, of course, brought you into the kingdom. Then,
absolutely. You know, it's interesting, and I haven't talked with that many people. I think that the spirit world leaves an awful lot of Christians alone, because if they had the experience that you and I had of really seeing how that victory and the power of Jesus' victory on the cross works, you know, I mean, you just don't forget it. I mean, I can hear it when you're talking right now. I mean, you just don't forget something like that. And it proves your faith. I mean, a lot of people, you know, have faith without that experience, and that's great. But boy, when you see that victory, it's interesting, Stan, you know, in 1 John 3:8, this is, a purpose that Rick Warren has left out of his purpose-driven church. It says in that scripture, it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And then you look at some of Rick Warren's other purposes that he has. He says he has the five purposes of God, but people need to understand that these are Rick Warren's five purposes, and Rick Warren leaves out much of this conversation that you and I are having. As a matter of fact, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he says, quote, "It helps to know that Satan is entirely predictable. It's not good, as you know, Stan, to underestimate the devil. We're not to give him more credit than he's due, but he's very slick, and here he has the Course in Miracles being given to a generation that is encountering a lot of crises, is looking for a lot of help, and there are just thousands upon thousands of us that went into these teachings of A Course in Miracles." And one of the things that I find really sad, and what popped out at me as I read The Purpose-Driven Life, is that Rick Warren is really a disciple of Robert Schuller's. And I didn't have any idea that he was as involved with Schuller as he has been over the years. And what really bothered me when I realized this is I read along, I would read a reference, and then I would follow it up, and I would inevitably be drawn into Robert Schuller's books and teachings. And then I found out that Rick Warren had graduated from Robert Schuller's Institute for Successful Church Leadership. As a matter of fact, Schuller even has a statement that he just made on April 4th of this year. He said, "And there's Rick Warren, a pastor who today is phenomenal. He came to our institute time after time. And in Christianity Today, his wife was quoted as saying, 'When we came to that institute, we were blown away.'" The reason I was concerned about his involvement with Schuller is because I happen to know as a fact that in the early 1980s, he had Jerry Jampolsky.
You're speaking of Schuller had Jerry Jampolsky.
I'm sorry, what did I say, Rick Warren?
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, Schuller had this gentleman. And
Robert
who's Jerry Jampolsky?
Robert Schuller on his Hour of Power program.
Hold up. And, Rick, you were saying that at one time he had actually had this gentleman who's been, has he been pushing the Course in Miracles?
Well, the reason I was concerned, I never paid much attention to Robert Schuller. I know that the woman who had our Metaphysical New Age Library used to watch Robert Schuller every Sunday, which was kind of an interesting statement that somebody in the New Age would find Schuller so fascinating. one of the things that I noticed and knew over the years was that Robert Shuler in the early 1980s had Dr. Jerry Jampolsky on his Hour of Power program, and has referred to Jampolsky through the years. Dr. Jerry Jampolsky has a book called Love is Letting Go of Fear. That was the book that introduced me to A Course in Miracles. Dr. Jampolsky was actually given a manuscript of A Course in Miracles before it was even in book form. That was back in 1975. He's been a teacher of A Course in Miracles to this day. And he, in his book, Love is Letting Go of Fear, he says that his whole book is based on the teachings of A Course in Miracles. Yet Robert Shuler had him on his Hour of Power program and talks about that in his 1982 book, Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. A friend called the Crystal Cathedral in 1985 and said she had asked if they were having Course in Miracles groups at the Crystal Cathedral, and the answer was yes. She was given the times of the groups, and she was told where she could purchase Course in Miracles books. She was actually given explicit directions to the Course in Miracles distribution center that was a worldwide sort of contact point for Course in Miracles groups. So, obviously, the fact that Robert Shuler was so undiscerning as a so-called evangelical minister to be involved with teachings that are the exact opposite of the Bible, I was concerned when I started to look through the purpose-driven life and to see how involved Rick Warren was with Robert Shuler. Rick actually went out to the Crystal Cathedral for one of these institutes, one of Shuler's institutes, while he was still in divinity school. He set up his church a half an hour from Shuler's Crystal Cathedral, and he based his church on Shuler principles. As a matter of fact, Christianity Today had an article in November of 2002, and the author, Tim Stafford, wrote this, quote, during his last year in seminary, he and Kay, that's Rick Warren and Kay, drove west to visit Robert Shuler's Institute for Church Growth. We had a very stony ride out to the conference, she says, because such non-traditional ministries scared her to death. Shuler, though, won them over. He had a profound influence on Rick, Kay says. We were captivated by his positive appeal to non-believers. I never looked back. Then as you go through the 1980s, you realize that so much of the purpose-driven church is really just an extension of the Crystal Cathedral. And what surprised me was that I kept finding all these references to Robert Shuler. Yeah, I think I want to be clear that just because Rick Warren was associated with Robert Shuler, that doesn't, you know, necessarily, we don't want to do guilt by association, but what I found as I read through the book was that many of the words, phrases, ideas, quotes, people that he referred to, church principles, they seemed to all lead back to Robert Shuler teachings. And the fact that he had been to his institute time after time and was so close to Shuler, I started to see the influence that Shuler has had on Rick Warren. The thing that really jumped out at me, there were a number of things that jumped out at me, and I cover those in my book, and I would like to say that it's very difficult to present all this material in even just an hour or two-hour show. And what I tried to do in my book, Deceived on Purpose, was I tried to show how I read the book. As I started reading it, what I was noticing, what I reflected on, what I was able to find out in research, things that I felt that God brought to my attention. And I weaved it together, and I spent a lot of time putting it in a form that I think is very readable and I think will be understood by people. So we're just going to hit a few points. The thing that jumped out at me perhaps more than anything was on page 88 of The Purpose-Driven Life. This is the quote that Rick Warren quotes in that chapter. He says, quote, the Bible says about God, he rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything.
Is in everything.
Is in everything. And I looked at that and I went, now wait a second. Now, I knew he had, just like you said, he had all these different Bible versions, but I had never, ever seen any Bible version that said that. And it said the New Century version of the Bible, and I hadn't heard of that. I did a little poking around on the internet, and I found out that it was being advertised that very day that I was looking on Robert Shuler's website. And right kitty-corner to that advertisement was a statement from Shuler about his Institute for Successful Church Leadership, and he said that Rick Warren was a graduate of his institute. And I'm looking at all this, and I'm going, what is this involvement with Rick Warren and Robert Shuler? Anyway, the scripture is from Ephesians 4:6, and that scripture is very clear. It says, in the King James, it says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And the you is the Apostle Paul talking to the believers, the faithful, in Christ Jesus. In the New Age, we were taught that the Holy Spirit naturally indwells every person. All of humanity is the body of Christ. Everybody has the Holy Spirit. And this is the way that they regard the world. But we know clearly that when Paul is speaking, he is speaking to Christians. And that's why he said, in you all, to the Ephesians.
But of course, the idea that God is in everything, this is pantheism.
Absolutely. And that quote said, he is in everything. And my Course in Miracles, I went to one of my Course in Miracles old lessons, lesson 29, and it says, God is in everything I see. Yeah, I think that what I learned when I was in the New Age is that there's a false Christ moving onto the world scene and moving into the church. And he's doing everything in his power to convert not only the world to his teachings, but to also convert the Christian church to his teachings. He uses a lot of Christian terms like Christ, Holy Spirit, God. This is something that people need to be aware of. If there's a false Christ that is going to be credible to the world, he's going to have to be able to own and to claim as his many people calling themselves Christians. So it just stands to reason that he needs to get into the Christian church. Now, the key teaching that will mean the difference between truth and deception is that he is saying that he is in everyone and everything. When you look at what's in the purpose-driven life, that's already been accomplished in that quote. It's unbelievable. I mean, there it is. Rick Warren says, the Bible says he rules everything, that's God, and is everywhere and is in everything. Now, that's called immanence, the immanence of God. The New Age uses that term repeatedly. As a matter of fact, that whole term, immanence, means God within, the God within. And I'd like to just read what Benjamin Krem, I noticed that a few weeks back, Dr. Stan, I heard you on Coast to Coast, and you may be very well aware that on Coast to Coast, Benjamin Krem has been a guest at least a couple of times in the last couple of years talking about the false Christ Maitreya that claims to be on Earth right now, perhaps making an appearance at any time, according to Krem.
And one of the disciples of the New Age is a man named Benjamin Krem. And Benjamin Krem claims to be sort of the John the Baptist, the disciple of the Lord Maitreya, who will be the universal leader of the world. He is called the Christ, but he would be the Messiah to, he would be the Christ to the Christians, the Messiah to the Jews, the Imam Mahdi to the Muslims, the Krishna to the Hindu, and you name it, he would be that. He will be the new world religious leader. And Benjamin Krem claims he's on earth waiting to be declared. And of course, it's just a matter of time as we move into the world government. It's all tied into the, I take Benjamin Krem's book, magazine is called Share, and it ties in, of course, to the United Nations and the things that are taking place today. So this is truly an occult religion, Benjamin Krem. This whole movement that he represents, in my estimation, are Luciferian. But why don't you pick up the story there, Warren? Like you were saying, that what had Benjamin Krem been writing?
Yeah, the reason that I mentioned Krem is, first of all, Maitreya, I think you would agree, is certainly a prototype of the false Christ that wants to work his way onto the world scene. You know, I think he's a viable candidate. I don't know if that's going to be the one or not. But it's interesting that hardly anybody's talking about him except Benjamin Krem on Coast to Coast, which is a very major talk show that is heard by a lot of people. But we were talking about Rick Warren's quote that said that God is in everything. And that's immanence. That's the term is immanence. God is within his creation. And I wanted to read a quote from Benjamin Krem. He said on page 88 of his book, The Reappearance of Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, he said, but eventually a new world religion will be inaugurated, which will be a fusion and synthesis of the approach of the East and the approach of the West. The Christ will bring together not simply Christianity and Buddhism, but the concept of God transcendent outside of his creation, and also the concept of God immanent in all creation, in man and all creation. So he's saying very clearly there that a world religion will be founded on this teaching that God is in everything. What I found really interesting, Dr. Stan, I think you're pretty knowledgeable about the Alice Bailey writings. This, of course, the spirit world worked through her. Joao Cool, I think, was... Is that the pronunciation?
Yes, Joao Cool was the demonic spirit that channeled, I think, 25 or 27 books to her.
And this is the foundation of our present-day New Age teachings. This book, The Reappearance of the Christ, is her earlier version of what Krem's sort of repeating now. And in Chapter 6 in this 1948 book, it says this in these occultic Bailey teachings. The evolutionary process has brought many to the point of a fresh orientation to divinity and to the acceptance of the fact of God transcendent and God immanent within every form of life. These are the foundational truths upon which the world religion of the future will rest. What's really interesting is that I think we had a caller on another show that we did that was arguing that, you know, that's not what Rick Warren means. He was just saying that God's kind of around his creation. Well, going to the participants' guide, which is part of the foundation's course of Rick Warren's Saddleback Church, on page 46 of his own manual, there's a section called A Fresh Word. And you recall I just read, it said in Bailey's teachings, A Fresh Orientation to Divinity. It says under A Fresh Word, Rick Warren's teachings say about God, he is both transcendent, above and beyond his creation, and immanent within and throughout his creation. Just very recently, like last November, Robert Schuller on his Hour of Power program said that as a result of his becoming more aware of the immanence of God, his faith was now deeper, broader, and richer more than ever. And he summarized what he meant by saying, quote, yes, God is alive, and he is in every single human being. Now, I think with your, you know, study and your knowledge of occultic background, Stan, you would know that the term as above, so below is the key to all occultic mysteries. It comes out of ancient Egypt. It's a saying that I was familiar with in the New Age. It's a magical mystery saying.
As totally above, so below.
As above, so below.
Those are really very magical and mystical words. And, of course, you will find that in the Message, which is a translation of the Bible that Rick Warren refers to over and over again in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life.
Well, that's exactly right. It's interesting because that term, as above, so below, right as I was reading Rick Warren's book and I was coming to terms with some of these things, I was at a library book sale, and I saw this book called As Above, So Below, and it was written by the editors of the New Age Journal. And what they said in the book was this, quote, as above, so below, as below, so above. This maxim implies that the transcendent God beyond the physical universe and the immanent God within ourselves are one. You can imagine my absolute horror when I saw in Eugene Peterson's The Message, which is the predominant Bible that Rick Warren uses. He uses it more than any other Bible. He calls it a paraphrase, but when he refers to it in his book, he says, the Bible says. Right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer is this saying. The Lord's Prayer in the King James is, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Eugene Peterson's Lord's Prayer, his paraphrase, says this, Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below. I couldn't believe it. But then, taking it a step further, in the very first chapter of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he, on the dedication page, he's got a quote from the Message. The page before the chapter one, he's got a quote from the Message. Five of the six scriptures that he has in the first chapter are from the Message. The chapter title is taken from the Message, Colossians 1:16, and listen to what he quotes to start off his book. From the Message, Rick Warren has this quote, For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Now, Eugene Peterson has already established as above, so below in the Lord's Prayer back in the book of Matthew, so here we are in Colossians. When he says above and below, Eugene Peterson definitely knows what he's referring to. It's a derivative form of this occultic saying that says God is in everything, and then Rick Warren's quoting the New Century Version Bible, which says that God is in everything. What I am absolutely wanting to know is, why aren't we talking about the New Age, what they're doing, how they're moving a false Christ onto the world scene. Instead of exposing this stuff, why are we using the same language? And I think that we've lost track of contending for the faith, and we're starting to do crossover language where it's getting very confusing. And there's just case after case where there's this overlapping stuff with the New Age, and this is perhaps the thing that just stuck out the most. And it's one of the reasons, Stan, that I mean, I had a job as a hospice social worker on the California coast. I really liked my job. Everybody was reading The Purpose-Driven Life. I didn't know Rick Warren. I really didn't. All I knew is that he was included in a book with some New Age leaders back after September 11th with some other Christian leaders. It was called From the Ashes. All I knew was that he was a Christian pastor. As I read this book, I became absolutely convinced that there was something really dangerous going on. I left my job. I came home, and I basically wrote this book so that I could try to explain the dangers so that we can point these out. Now, we're not saying that Rick Warren is a New Ager, but what we're saying is that he is opening some doors that are extremely dangerous, they're unscriptural, and we need to close those doors quickly. In the Bible, it says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. When I became a Christian, a lot of people came up to me and said, you know, you can have a glass of water that's 99% water, but if it's 1% arsenic, you're dead. And this is the false Christ wants the church to accept this teaching that we're all God, that God is in everything and everyone. And I'm just imploring Christian leaders to start talking about the New Age and exposing it, contending for the faith, rather than ignoring it and going into a lot of just excitement about this purpose-driven life. I think part of the reason this is so popular is that people are not taking a deeper look at some of these issues. And those of us that have come out of the New Age, out of the occult, know that the false Christ is setting a trap and the church is walking right into it. It's interesting that Rick Warren has proposed a peace plan. The New Age has a peace plan that's an acronym for peace that uses each letter to say something, and Rick Warren has one too. He hasn't spelled out really the difference between his and theirs. But Rick Warren calls his peace plan God's dream for you and the world.
Now, how does he know it's God's dream?
Well, that's a good question, because God's dream, there is no such thing as God's dream in the Bible. There's no concept of God dreaming. But Hinduism has that in their vocabulary. And interestingly, in the 1982 book of Robert Schuller's Self-Esteem, the New Reformation, he talks repeatedly about God's dream. He has a number of quotes. I'll just give you a couple quick ones. Schuller says, quote, God's forgiving grace is incomplete until he gives me and I accept a new kingdom-building dream and opportunity. Another one is tremendous, quote, tremendous energy is needed to walk God's walk, work God's work, fulfill God's will, and complete his dream for our self-esteem. This whole notion of God's dream is another Robert Schuller concept that Rick Warren has used. And Schuller, again, this was back in 1982. That was right about the time that Rick Warren was just growing his Saddleback Church. I want to state right away that I made a decision as I wrote the book that I was never going to take royalties for this book. I do not make any profit from this book. I'm not profiting off of Rick Warren's popularity. I want to make a comment on this young man that just called in. He referred to the as Trojan horse.
Trojan horse, right.
And I want to read just a paragraph from my book because I think he hit it right on the nose. I said, as a self-proclaimed change agent, it seemed that one of Rick Warren's unstated purposes was to mainstream Robert Schuller's teachings into the more traditional Bible-based wing of the church. Many believers who seem to trust Rick Warren ironically do not trust Robert Schuller. Rick Warren's magic seems to be that he's able to make the teachings of Robert Schuller palatable to believers who would have otherwise never have accepted these same teachings had they come directly from Schuller himself. So I think he's exactly right, and I think the average person reading Rick Warren's book would never identify Schuller, because he does not mention Robert Schuller once in his book.
You wonder why he would not mention Robert Schuller when Robert Schuller mentions him, and yet, of course, we know, of course, that he had gone to many of Robert Schuller's courses. You would think he would give him some credit for the ideas and techniques and approaches.
Well, what Rick Warren did at the beginning of his book is he gave sort of a tip of the hat to the hundreds of teachers who had influenced his life.
One of the things that really disturbs me as I read about Rick Warren is he has a plan not simply for church or for church management or for church growth, but doesn't he plan to change the world?
Yeah, he has his peace plan. It's a five-step peace plan, and the thing that really troubled me is that I'd already read the New Age peace plan that had been laid out by New Age leader Neil Donald Walsh, and his peace plan suggests that the world can be saved from all these crises if we all adopt a new spirituality that says that God is in everyone and everything. Of course, with Rick Warren's quoting the New Century Version Bible saying that God is in everything, instead of contending for the faith and pointing out the faults in Neil Donald Walsh's peace plan, Rick Warren's actually proposing his own five-step peace plan without contending for the faith and giving the New Age pretty much what they want. This is an interesting quote. Neil Donald Walsh, again, he is the man who wrote Conversations with God, a book that rode on the top of the New York Times bestseller list for 2.5 years. Conversations with God, he purports that God has told them that the world needs a new spirituality to save itself. Walsh wrote, quote, "The universe," and this is in my book, "the universe does nothing by accident. You can change the course of human history. This is not an exaggeration." Rick Warren has stated, "You are not a part of Saddleback Church by accident. I say this without fear of exaggeration. God is going to use you and all of us at Saddleback to change history." They're saying the same thing, and what troubles me is that pastors who should be protecting the flock are leading the flock into a spiritual trap. They're not contending for the faith. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, Apostle Paul said, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Unfortunately, evangelical leaders, local pastors, are not contending for the faith by exposing these parallel views and thoughts, and we are, as a result, walking right into this trap of the false Christ who is setting up his version of world Christianity, and it is a very insidious version that has nothing to do with the Holy Bible.
And one of the things that we see in the book that you talk about is this idea of God's dream. And yet, of course, don't many of the New Agers talk about this dream, this whole idea of somehow dreaming is going to change the world?
Well, it's not so much even the act of dreaming. It's this idea. Rick Warren, right as I was reading his book, a new book came out by Bruce Wilkinson, the author that had written about the prayer of Jabez, and his book was called The Dream Giver. I went out and I got the book, and I started reading what Bruce Wilkinson was suggesting. He was suggesting that everybody has a dream in their heart, and that dream is really God's dream, and that you need to get in touch with God's dream. And as I read his stuff on dreams, I went, oh no, this is Robert Shuler again. He actually said that we all have a big dream with a capital B and a capital D, and I had traced that back to Robert Shuler in 1977. I was now accumulating a stack of Robert Shuler books, must have had about 25 of them, because I kept being driven back to Robert Shuler by Rick Warren and now by Bruce Wilkinson. So this whole idea that God has a dream for the world, and this dream has to do with purpose, and the idea of God's dream and purpose, again, go back to Robert Shuler. Robert Shuler, as a matter of fact, recently in a book that was just a couple years ago, it was an autobiography, he said, "I'm dreaming a bold, impossible dream that positive-thinking believers in God will rise above the illusions that our sectarian religions have imposed on the world, and that leaders of the major faiths will rise above doctrinal idiosyncrasies, choosing not to focus on disagreements, but rather to transcend divisive dogmas, to work together to bring peace and prosperity and hope to the world." Dr. Stan, you know, in the book of Daniel, Daniel 8:25, it's made real clear that Antichrist, when he comes, is going to destroy wonderfully. It's a very incredible term. Wonderfully meaning it's going to look so good. And it says about Antichrist, "And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many." I think when Rick Warren talks about a peace plan and he's talking about God's dream and he's using Shuler terminology and Shuler's talking about a peace that's going to rise above doctrinal idiosyncrasies and divisiveness among faiths, I think we're getting into a very dangerous ground and we need to specify what we're talking about. But I think this whole idea of God's dream has nothing to do with the Bible. It has everything to do with Robert Shuler. And interestingly, If you go back into the Alice Bailey teachings, you will find the term God's dream over and over and over again.
Well, you know, one of the things I noticed is there's this capitalizing of the D in the dream. Now, if you go back and you read Mary Baker Eddy's writings, she would always use these phrases, and there would be certain terms she would want to deify. In other words, they became God, and you would always capitalize those. And if you read occultic writings, as I do a great deal, the writings of, say, Albert Pike, why he will, of course, use those capitals, and this makes this a divine idea. In other words, the dream becomes divine. God, you would capitalize. Christ, you would capital C. Dream, God, you would not capitalize the D unless this itself was a deification. And you will find in all occult writings, specifically in the original writings of Mary Baker Eddy and of Alice Bailey and of Madame Blavatsky, but I'm so surprised that they would capitalize the D in God's dream to deify that. Now, the average individual would not recognize what they're doing, that sort of look at it and pass right over it without realizing this is occult writing.
And again, it was capitalized by Robert Schuller back in 1977, this whole idea of God's dream. Now, it's interesting, Dr. Stan, that I went down immediately and got Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Dream Giver, and I read it. And just several days later, he shows up on Robert Schuller's Hour of Power, and he hails Schuller at that point in time as the patriarch of dreams and pays a lot of homage to Schuller. That same day that he was televised on the Hour of Power, he appeared at Saddleback Church with Rick Warren. Rick Warren, just I think a day or two later, announced that his five-step peace plan was calling it God's Dream for You and the World. I think what people need to understand is that there's a lot of confluence going on here. There's a lot of merging of terms. There's no differentiation between the language. There's a lot of reference back to things that dip into Hinduism, into Alice Bailey. One of the most amazing things is that while all this is going on, I don't know if you happen to notice, but on PBS, Wayne Dyer, who is one of the New Age leaders, he is a very close associate of Neil Donald Walsh and the Global Renaissance Alliance of New Age Leaders. He has a show on PBS. They're actually offering his book, The Power of Intention. If you look up intention in the dictionary, a synonym is purpose, the power of purpose. He's teaching everybody the principles of the New Age and the New Spirituality, power of intention, power of purpose. Meanwhile, at the same time, Rick Warren has signed on to be a judge on the Power of Purpose essay contest for the John Templeton Foundation, Templeton being a New Age sympathizer who believes that we have a shared divinity. Humanity has a shared divinity with God, that God is in all of us. And Rick Warren is actually judging this contest. The winner was just announced on September 20th, and the winner in this contest that Rick Warren helped to judge is a man who has a basic New Age organization. And one of the links on this man's website, he has a thing called the Self-Knowledge Symposium. One of the links is to the Theosophical Society, and they talk about Helena Blavatsky. So, you know, here we are with Wayne Dyer, a New Age leader, talking about the power of purpose on TV. They're actually signing people up to PBS by offering his New Age teachings. He refers to the Course in Miracles. He was on after September 11th. Rick Warren is with the Templeton Organization. Neil Donald Walsh has referred to John Templeton as one of his role models, had a recent conversation with him. Templeton is actually suggesting that we all open ourselves up to new revelations, which is exactly what Neil Donald Walsh and the New Age leaders are doing. And meanwhile, nobody's clarifying any of this. And this is my contention. Again, we're not calling Rick Warren a New Ager, but we're saying this is a very undiscerning man who is not protecting the flock, and he's outing Robert Schuller teachings. He's not being honest about the fact that he's using Robert Schuller teachings. And why are we concerned about Robert Schuller? Because this man, Robert Schuller, is basically talking about A Course in Miracles. He's referring to Jerry Jampolsky as a believer in God. He's been talking about Jerry Jampolsky for years. He even mentioned Jampolsky in a sermon this year. He referred to him as a gentle giant. It's an amazing story. I had communication with the Crystal Cathedral back in 1994, and they assured me they were not doing any Course in Miracles stuff anymore. And they went to great lengths to make that clear. They admitted that, yes, there were groups going on, but it's not happening anymore. 1996, there's a video that I found as I was writing this book was in Barnes & Noble, and on a 1996 video, Robert Shuler talks about Jerry Jampolsky, and he says, quote, he went into medical school, became a very brilliant medical doctor, but he had problems himself, as all human beings do. Then he became a believer in God. That's a long story. As I mentioned earlier, Jerry Jampolsky is a proponent of A Course in Miracles, has been since 1975, has always been in the New Age, and I just couldn't believe that 2 years after they told me that he wasn't involved in any way, he's declaring Jerry Jampolsky to be a believer in God.
Well, he is a believer in God, but the question is, what God?
Well, that's
not,
exactly
not the God of the Bible.
That's exactly right, Stan. And what needed to be said was that the God that he believes in is the God of the New Age, the God of A Course in Miracles. And Jerry Jampolsky, by the way, seems to be a very nice man. He has probably done a lot of nice things for people, but he's still subscribing to teachings that say that the journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. There's no sin. The Course in Miracles says the atonement is the final lesson that man need learn, for it teaches him that never having sinned, he has no need of salvation. It's just so
undeserved. Would you repeat that again? Never having sinned.
Never having sinned, he has no need of salvation.
Well, that's certainly the antithesis of Christian teaching. But the problem is that we find the false teaching of the church. What better way to destroy Christianity? Not by a direct attack from without, but from within. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Warren Smith, and of course we're talking about his book, Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. And of course, I just noticed the way that they talk about the dream giver. Who wrote about the dream giver? Gave me a big dream. Who wrote that?
That was Bruce Wilkinson.
Okay, fine. Of course, if you look at page 110 of the book, why dream, capital D, giver, capital G, gave me a big dream. And, of course, you capitalize the B, capital D. For our listeners out there, you have to learn how to read occultic writings, because one of the ways that they communicate among themselves is by how they capitalize those certain phrases. And of course, you deify a word, and of course people then who understand the secret of course recognize what you're saying and recognize what you are basically doing with that. Now, of course, there's so much in your book, as you just take us through this whole thing, and of course then transpose Rick Warren's teaching on those of Robert Shuler, and I think you do a very, very effective job of accomplishing that. What sort of response are you getting from people who are reading your book across America?
Well, it's interesting that you ask, because I did a show earlier today on VCY America out of Milwaukee, and I did a show yesterday with them, and they called me today, and they ordered 300 books. Apparently, people are calling in from all over because they're desperate for information to give to their pastors, to give to their fellow church members. While we did the show in Bernie, California, the station there shut down the program because apparently they were sympathetic to and not open to hearing what, you know, I had to say. But a couple of the people that lived in Bernie called VCY America and said, they just shut the station down, but can you tell us how to get the book? So people are getting through. And I think one of the things that I think Rick Warren, one of the big mistakes I think that he's made is that he says, don't criticize what God is blessing. And, you know, that's a very dangerous thing to say. The Apostle Paul told the Bereans, you know, basically he told them that they could ask him anything, and he wanted them to check whatever he was saying by Scripture, to pray and to check anything by Scripture. And I think to say, don't criticize what God is blessing, I think it's a huge mistake to assume that because something's big and because something's popular, that God is blessing it. I do not think God is blessing statements that Rick Warren makes, like the Bible says God rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything. I don't think God blesses his reference of Bernie Siegel, a New Age leader who has a spirit guide named George who advises him in his life. And Rick Warren uses Bernie Siegel as sort of an entry point to talking about purpose. And that's right after he puts Isaiah and Job down as two men who are without purpose and without God. Very, very dangerous. So I think this idea of shutting down criticism is what's troubling a lot of the people. And those are the comments that we're getting, that people try to talk about this in their church and they end up being sort of shunned and even escorted out of the church if they don't agree and follow their leaders. This idea of just following your leaders, even though they may be making some mistakes, is very dangerous. And this whole idea of not criticizing what God is blessing, signing covenants that you won't criticize. Criticism doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be negative. It's the way that we learn things and the way that we discuss things. I think if Rick Warren just closed up some of these loopholes that he has, I mean, if he would start exposing the New Age and just maybe say, you know, I followed Robert Schuller a little too closely and I've made some mistakes.
Hold that thought right there.
Sure.
We're talking about, of course, this changing of the basic thrust of the Christian church. And Warren was saying that one of the things that Rick Warren says is that you shouldn't criticize things that God is blessing. In other words, if you're successful, you shouldn't criticize it. Well, I don't think that success is necessarily a sign that God is blessing it. There may be a blessing, but it may not be coming from God either. Certainly many of the things that come from the dark side will do very, very well. Look at some of the movies that come out of Hollywood, and look how well they do financially. Look how they are applauded by our mass media in America. But does that mean they're of God? And I would suggest that the same thing. In fact, I think we have to perhaps question why some of the things that are happening in the church are as successful as they are. Is this really God's blessing? Does this actually, of course, increase our faith in the Lord? Does it bring us back to the Scriptures? Or is there an attack on Christianity that is undermining the very fabric of the traditional religion? And this is my concern, is that this is exactly what we're doing. Now, you were commenting during the break there that Rick Warren said that Isaiah was a man without purpose. Was that, did I understand you correctly?
Yeah, I'll read, you know, what he said. This is from his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Without God, life has no purpose, and without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance or hope. In the Bible, many different people express this hopelessness. Isaiah complained, I've labored to no purpose, I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Job said, my life drags by day after hopeless day, and I give up. I'm tired of living, leave me alone, my life makes no sense. The greatest tragedy is not death, but life without purpose. Then he says, hope is as essential to your life as air and water. You need hope to cope. Dr. Bernie Siegel found he could predict which of his cancer patients would go into remission by asking, do you want to live to be 100? Those with a deep sense of life purpose answered yes, and were the ones most likely to survive. Hope comes from having a purpose. Dr. Stan, you know, I've been a hospice social worker. I know a lot of people that I worked with that were dying wanted to live to be 100, but that didn't mean that they had a deep sense of life purpose. But the inference that Isaiah and Job had no purpose and were without God, it just doesn't make any sense. And as a matter of fact, Rick Warren does not quote the whole scripture in Isaiah 49:4. He said, his quote that he had in his book, he just said, I have labored to no purpose, I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. What he left out, the rest of that verse says, yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. So he definitely affirms his relationship with God. The reason that Isaiah was frustrated, Dr. Stan, is because the religious leaders were leading the people astray, and he was frustrated because they weren't listening to him. And that's the honest way of approaching that. The thing that was really interesting was the reference to Bernie Siegel, who we've mentioned has a spirit guide, and you would never know that. He just says, hope is essential to your life as air and water. You need hope to cope. Dr. Bernie Siegel found it's just nonchalant reference to a key New Age leader. The other thing that really jumped out at me as I did my research and study is his comment saying, hope is essential to your life as air and water. You need hope to cope. I found this quote from Robert Schuller in 1982 in his book, Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. Schuller says, our very survival as a species depends on hope, and without hope, we will lose the faith that we can cope. It's almost the same thing that Rick Warren sang 20 years later. Interestingly, Neil Donald Walsh's God, his New Age God, actually commends Robert Schuller for his self-esteem theology and his emphasis on a new Reformation. He actually commends Schuller and calls him an extraordinary minister, and he refers and quotes from this very same book, Self-Esteem and New Reformation, that Rick Warren is apparently pulling this same quote from, which is, hope is essential to your life as air and water. You need hope to cope. And there's that Schuller rhyme that's in there, too. You need hope to cope. The only other explanation I could come up with is that Rick Warren has just attended so many Robert Schuller seminars that Schuller might present that, and it's almost become a part of Rick Warren's vocabulary. I don't know that he even knows how much Robert Schuller is in him and how much is coming out in his teachings. But I found just reference after reference, men that Schuller quotes, Rick Warren quotes, phrases and terms that Schuller uses that are significant and idiosyncratic to him, Rick Warren uses. And I've tried to document this in my book so that people will be able to present this coherently to somebody who's, you know, involved with this stuff. So the thing that's interesting, though, is getting back to Schuller being the architect and one of the chief forces here, there's a lot of talk about a new reformation. What's interesting is that Benjamin Krem talks about a reforming of the Christian church. Maitreya says that when he comes, if he does, he's going to come with 12 masters of wisdom. One of them is going to be Jesus. But it's not Jesus Christ, it's the Master Jesus. The Master Jesus, according to Krem, will lead the Christian church in their devotion and worship of Maitreya, the Christ. He is the Master Jesus, according to Krem. Isn't it interesting that in the message, the word Lord is dropped from Jesus almost universally, and he is referred to by Peterson as Master Jesus?
Does he really? Because I haven't heard the message. So they're using then the straight New Age terminology.
Yeah, let me give you a quote. The King James translation of Revelation 22, 20-21 at the very end of the Bible says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." The message paraphrase is, "Yes, come, Master Jesus. The grace of the Master Jesus be with you all. Oh, yes." This is so dangerous because it's setting up this idea that Jesus is just, you know, I mean, Jesus was a master, but in the Bible he's always referred to as Lord and Savior. He was never referred to as Master Jesus. And interestingly, Maitreya refers to himself as the teacher. Now, Jesus is only referred to as the teacher one time in the Gospels. In the message, he's referred to as the teacher over 25 times. The message is actually setting up a template that could be a platform for someone, a prototype of, you know, the false Christ like Maitreya. And there's just so many things that are so dangerous about these things. And the most dangerous thing is nobody's talking about the New Age and the new spirituality and all these parallel terms for some reason. And I wrote this, we did interviews on my last book, Dr. Stan, Reinventing Jesus Christ, the New Gospel. And I talked about this. I said, there is a very deafening silence in Christendom amongst Christian leaders about what is going on the other side in deception. Somehow or another, they're just not talking about it. In a book called From the Ashes, A Spiritual Response to the Attack on America, Neil Donald Walsh, in the midst of articles also by Chuck Colson, Jerry Jenkins, Bill Hybels, Rick Warren, and Billy Graham and others, Neil Donald Walsh, New Age leader, he said, "We must change ourselves. We must change the beliefs upon which our behaviors are based. We must create a different reality, build a new society. We must do so with new spiritual truths. We must preach a new gospel, its healing message summarized in two sentences. We are all one. Ours is not a better way. Ours is merely another way." Then he says, "This 15-word message delivered from every lectern and pulpit, from every rostrum and platform, could change everything overnight. I challenge every priest, every minister, every rabbi, and religious cleric to preach this." He's literally challenging Rick Warren, Billy Graham, and all the rest to preach that, and there was no response, no public response. What a great opportunity to contend for the faith. And then just a year later, Rick Warren is hearing Neil Donald Walsh, if he hasn't heard him, then he should be hearing him say, Neil Donald Walsh said that God, his God, is saying, "It will take an unprecedented act of courage on a grand scale. You may have to do something virtually unknown in the annals of human history. You may have to give up some of your most sacred beliefs."
Now, who's saying this?
This is Neil Donald Walsh's New Age God saying, "We, in order to achieve peace, in order to achieve oneness, we may have to give up some of our most sacred beliefs." Then he also says, this New Age God who's presenting this new spirituality, he lays down this gauntlet. He says, quote, "Yet let me make something clear. The era of the single Savior is over. What is needed now is joint action, combined effort, collective co-creation." Then he proposes this new spirituality. What I'm wondering is, how can Christian leaders not respond to a New Age leader and his God saying that the era of the single Savior is over? they're preaching oneness, which says that God is in everyone and everything. And rather than contending for the faith, Rick Warren is saying the Bible says God rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything. He's opening the door to giving the New Age exactly what they want, walking into the spiritual trap that's being laid by the master deceiver of this world.
Well, I think the tragedy is it's so hard if you really don't understand the New Age, if you do not understand that there is another dimension, if you do not really believe with all your heart that there really are demonic spirits out there that are vying for the souls of men, it's so easy to simply accept things that you wouldn't accept otherwise. In other words, if you don't understand that this whole idea that God is in everyone and everything is a basic New Age tenet, why, it really doesn't sound so bad unless somebody points out why it's wrong and why, of course, it will undermine the very tenets of the Christian faith.
Absolutely. Pantheism, God being in everything, has always been, clearly antagonistic to the true teachings of the Bible. So there's some barriers that are being broken down here, and it's really sad, Dr. Stan, to see this happening, and I think that so many people trust leaders like Robert Shuler, so-called leaders like Robert Shuler and Rick Warren, because they're popular and they're big, and I think they forget that Jesus warned that the way to destruction is broad and the way to truth is narrow, and that just because something's big doesn't mean it's necessarily good. Another thing that's interesting is that if you look for the broad way and the narrow way, in Eugene Peterson's The Message, you'll find that it's disappeared. He doesn't have it in there. A lot of stuff about prophecy that it was real clear, like the one that I read that in the King James that helped me to get saved, it has a completely different, meaning. Like when Peterson said, watch out for doomsday deceivers. I mean, that could be turned around someday. I was not really joking when I said, that could be you, Dr. Stan, because that could be turned around, and those of us that are talking about these end-time events could be the ones that they're pointing at and saying, we're the deceivers. And I think it's going to get very tricky down the line, and if you don't have good scripture to back you up, then you're subject to these interpretations by these new Bible versions and by the slick kind of things that are going on where Robert Shuler is saying he's an evangelical minister, and yet he's saying, yes, God is alive, and he is in every single human being. And he's touting Jerry Jampolsky, a New Age leader, but then he shows up at the National Association for Evangelicals this very year, and he gives a whole thing all about sin. So people go, oh, well, Robert Shuler's talking about sin. But you have to look at the whole picture. You have to put this all together to realize that Robert Shuler says things that are convenient. And when he gets cornered, as he was getting cornered back in the mid-80s with some of his New Age sympathies, when he gets cornered, he kind of backs up and makes adjustments, just like a politician who kind of does the spin and does the tweaking that's necessary to bring him back into a favorable position with the people that are looking to him for leadership. I think Robert Shuler, he has a technique, and I think Rick Warren uses it too, which is they'll say two contradictory things, and I'll give you an example. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren makes a statement that man is not divine, man is not God, and he uses the term New Age philosophies. I had a friend who actually went to Saddleback Church years ago. He came running over to where I was, and he said, hey, look, you're wrong. There's no New Age implications. Look at what Rick Warren says here. And I stopped him, and I said, I know what you're going to say, and I know where you're going to take me. I want you to go to page 88 first. And I read to him what Rick Warren said. I said, the Bible says about God, he rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything. My friend hung his head. He said, my God, that's pantheism. It just shut down his whole argument. But if you were to say to someone at Saddleback the things that we're saying, they'd say, hey, look in Rick Warren's book. He says that man's not divine, da-da-da-da. But he's opening the door here, and I've noticed this before. There was a man who was a Christian leader in Colorado Springs, and he was praising Robert Mueller, who I'm sure you're very familiar with, at the former, higher up at the UN.
Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations.
There you go.
For many, many years.
Yes. This same man was on in the World Future Society with Barbara Marx Hubbard. This is a Christian leader. And a number of us were writing articles and talking about his relationship and questioning it. So he issues a statement. He says, you got to watch out for the New Age. And everybody went, see, he's telling you, watch out for the New Age, and he's warning you to watch out for the New Age. It's just, that doesn't go very deep. What we have to go much deeper than these statements like Robert Shuler talking about sin at the National Association of Evangelicals. You have to look at the whole record. And I actually called the Course in Miracles Distribution Center, where one of Shuler's longtime ex-employees, the guy was actually head of the New Hope Counseling Center at the Crystal Cathedral for years, and he left there and went over to the Course in Miracles Center. I called there wondering if he was still there. You know, that was like just last November. And when I called, this man answered the phone. I couldn't believe it. And I started talking to him about Shuler, A Course in Miracles, and a number of other things. And he said, yes, he said conservative members of the Crystal Cathedral were getting upset. They put pressure on Shuler, and he kind of basically backed off. But then he hesitated, and he said, but you know, Robert Shuler did workshops with Jerry Jampolsky in Hawaii. I said, you're kidding. He said, no. So, I mean, it's just like a politician. You do what's convenient. When you look at what Shuler is saying these days, here's another quote from Shuler. He says, as the century as well as the millennium drew to a close, I was astounded to see how much my perspective had shifted. In my early years, my world was Sioux County, Iowa, and the Dutch Reformed Church. But now I had a global awareness. Going somewhere from nowhere had begun to take on a whole new meaning. I was moving further and further into a mindset of religious inclusivity. And that's exactly what you were talking about in that interview with that leading evangelist. Moving into a religious inclusivity where we're going to all, not us, but where they want everyone to agree that God is in everyone. And if you don't believe in that, they call you exclusivist, self-centered, and separate. And so this is where we're heading. There's a choice that's going to be made down the line. They're trying to take the term Christ away from Jesus. It's not Jesus Christ, it's the Master Jesus, who is going to help everyone see the Christ who is reflected in everyone in humanity. It's very perverse, Dr. Stan, and the Bible lays all of this out. All of this stuff is in the Scriptures. All the stuff I needed to know about the spiritual battle, about Jesus' death on the cross and his defeat of Satan, death and evil and sin on the cross, it's all there. But people just aren't reading the Scriptures. They're listening to teachers who have a watered-down version.
Well, I think the other thing is, Warren, is that you come from the New Age. You understand the New Age terminology. You understand the occultic approach to writing, you know, and the use of capitals to give divinity to phrases and words. The average individual doesn't. He's never been warned. And there's, you know, other than a few ministries such as mine, why the average individual has no idea that there really is another dimension. There really are beings from another dimension. There really are demonic forces that are after the heart and mind and soul of ourselves and our children and grandchildren. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest this evening has been Warren Smith, and his book is called The Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. And I will tell you, this is a fascinating book, a book that you have to read through from beginning to end. But in the end, you find that it's well worth it, because, of course, he pulls together all of the various concepts, and you begin to see in the purpose-driven life and the purpose-driven church the teachings of Robert Shuler. And Robert Shuler certainly has long been associated, in my estimation, with New Age teaching. Now, many times you won't admit this. He does everything under the guise of Christianity. But, of course, basically we go into the background of what he does and the people he encourages and the things he says on television. And he's moving people away from traditional Christianity towards the new religion. So we've got about just 2 minutes for you to wrap things up tonight.
Yeah, I think I'd just like to emphasize that there was a caller earlier that said, how do you approach people that are involved in this? And I tried to do my book very respectfully, and the book reads fairly well because I just reproduced the process that I went through. I didn't know Rick Warren. I started reading his book, and I just described my impressions as I hit certain things like Bernie Siegel, and all of a sudden here's a New Age leader with no description in the book, or some of the things that we've talked about tonight, all of the parallels with Robert Shuler. How this fits in with the new spirituality, that is the new spirituality is actually what the New Age is calling itself today, and most people don't know that. So, again, I don't take a royalty for this book. I wrote it because I felt that it needed to be written, And there are a lot of people out there that are getting very confused, and I hope that this book will help a lot of people to put this thing together. And I hope that Rick Warren and Christian leaders will start to expose the New Age rather than moving the church into it.
I think that the whole church growth movement is done so subtly. It is done so cleverly that the average person may suspect something's wrong, but they can't quite put their finger on it. And I think that the strength of your book helped me to see more clearly what it is, how they're doing it, because if they said, we're here to change Christianity, why, people would certainly be concerned. But if we're here to make Christianity better and to reach more people and to do God's work, how can you disagree with that? But I think what you've done, Warren, and you've done it very, very well, is to bring out the background of what's going on and then show the tie between what's happening today and the New Age apostasy, which has the capacity to destroy Christendom as we know it. Thank you so very much for being with us, and we'll look forward to talking to you from time to time again. Or if anything comes up, please give me a call.
Okay, Dr. Stan. Thanks a lot.